Our New Testament scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open there now. Again, that's Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Let's listen now to these words of scripture. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. There's no better commitment of a person's, or no better symbol of a person's commitment than that of baptism. You know, I think about how my own life has been shaped and formed by the promises I made when I was baptized. And the gift of baptism was shared with me by a loving, committed Christian community that vowed to care for me. And the gift of that kind of community is one of the greatest gifts God offers. Now, the gift of community is extremely helpful, especially when life is hard. The support of a caring community can be a tremendous help when we are dealing with the loss of a loved one or facing the consequences of a bad decision or picking up the pieces after someone has treated us in a hurtful way. Now, throughout my life, the different churches of which I've been a part have never been perfect, but I've always found community. I've always found people who were there for me, people who wanted to build friendships, people who would just call up and say, "Let's go to lunch." You know, I love sharing food with one another, but breaking bread for me is always more than just filling up my tummy. In Christian community, I've always found encouragement, I found people who've challenged me, and I found people who have strengthened me. And when I've gone through a difficult time, there have been people to remind me that I belong to God. And when I've been uncertain about the future, there have been folks who've nudged me to keep seeking God's direction. Now, my point is that we both give and we receive in Christian community. In other words, each of us does our part to strengthen the body of Christ. And we really do help one another live into the commitments that we made when we were baptized and first started following Jesus. Now, people often wonder why Jesus was baptized. John himself raised this question, and yet that question really reveals that we typically think of baptism only in terms of sin and salvation. But at the end of our scripture passage, we find something else, something that I think is deeply significant. God calls Jesus the Beloved. Now, that little detail points to the significance of our own baptisms. You see, when we are baptized, God calls us His Beloved. We're being claimed as children of God, just like Jesus. We are part of God's family. And being part of God's family means we're part of the visible, universal church. And one of the things that makes the church visible is a commitment to worship. Now, Christians around the world gather on Sundays to worship God. And when we worship, we rejoice in what God has done in the past. We rejoice in what God is doing in the present. And we rejoice in what God will do in the future. You know, worship helps us tell and retell the story of God, and at the heart of this story is love. Think about it. out of love. God created this world and everything in it. Out of love, God called a group of people, the Israelites, to be a blessing to the entire world. Out of love, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, so that all might find abundant life. And then Jesus gave all of his followers the great commandment. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And the second is like it," he says. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And to underscore the importance of love, Jesus would later say, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Worship keeps us focused on God's story. It keeps us focused on God's love. No matter what happens to us during the week, worship always brings us back to this truth. It connects us to love because it connects us to God. And let's remember, we can't be the kind of community that's needed without love. And that's why it's so important that we live with a commitment to worship. Now, as you reflect on your own commitment to worship, I invite you to listen to this brief video that I hope will inspire you to live with greater faithfulness.
Worshiping God is a privilege and a joy. When we worship, we are entering into God's story. That is to say, the story of God creating the world and humanity so that he might share his love with us. The story continues with God becoming incarnate through the birth of his Son, Jesus, that Jesus might point us back to God, and it concludes with God's recreation of the world as he redeems and restores the world to its rightful place, encouraging us as we anticipate that day when we will all be joined together at the heavenly feast. As Christians, we believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. When we celebrate that he is alive, we make every Sunday a mini Easter. Worshiping God corporately in community with each other every week encourages, strengthens, and gives us hope. Worshiping God in community also helps form us, helps transform us to become the Christ followers God desires us to be, that we might be on mission as we become light in a dark world, as we offer love to a world in desperate need of unconditional love, and as we share the message of Christ and what he has done in our lives so that others may come to know and worship him too. I hope you will make a commitment to join this community of Christ followers known as Forest Hills Baptist Church for worship each and every week, that you might be encouraged, strengthened, given hope, and formed into a believer who worships God not just on Sundays, but throughout each and every day.
A community that is committed to worship is a community where people are growing and being changed by God. This is a lifelong process, and baptism simply marks the beginning of this journey with God. Baptism is a sign that we have died to sin and risen to new life. It's a sign of our repentance and that we've chosen to go in a new direction. It's a sign that we are committed to the transformation of ourselves and our world. And that kind of change is possible because of God's love for us. A couple weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast where a woman named Jessica Sanders was talking about how God's love transformed her life. And she told her story in this way, and I'll quote it for you. She says, "At 19, I found myself in a deep, dark meth addiction. What started as just a party turned into the biggest battle of my life for the next 15 years. And by that I mean I was in and out of jail for most of my life and not planning on changing. Then God met me on my way to prison. He broke down all of my walls and helped me walk into a life of complete freedom from drugs, alcohol, and codependency. And as a consequence, I'm gratefully 6 years clean and sober." The love of God that we find in Jesus Christ changes us. It transforms us. It helps us face our fears, our hatreds, our stereotypes, even our addictions. And it can change all of them. The love of God in Christ transforms our heads, our hearts, and our hands. And this is where discipleship comes in. You see, discipleship is a commitment to growth. It's a commitment to the transformation of our whole self. That includes what we think, what we believe, and what we do. The Apostle Paul described the importance of discipleship in this way. In his letter to the Romans, he wrote, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." As followers of Jesus, we are on a journey of transformation. But this won't magically happen all by itself. It requires commitment. It requires a commitment to the practice of spiritual disciplines like prayer, Bible reading, and study. A committed Christian community encourages us to do these things. It challenges us to go deeper in the faith and to learn new lessons about the Lord and to open our hearts more fully to God's love. Now, we begin opening our hearts to God at baptism, but that's only the start, because we're not a finished product. We are growing and evolving. We are becoming more like Jesus. And that is the goal of discipleship. Now, the gift of committed Christian community is that it challenges and encourages us to grow. So I want you to take a moment right now to assess where you are in your own discipleship. What is it that you need to work on? And how might the church help you? I invite you to listen to this next video to help you continue to reflect on your own discipleship.
A disciple is a follower of Christ. As Christians, we make our decision to follow Jesus by first being baptized. We go into the water heavy and full of sin, and the water washes over us, cleanses us, and lifts us up into a life of walking with Jesus. Baptism is the first step in a journey that lasts a lifetime. Discipleship is the process of choosing to daily walk hand in hand with the Lord, to allow Him to direct your thoughts, words, and actions. This takes intentionality, time, and discipline as we seek to be more like Jesus. We must read our Bible, take time to talk to God, and live our lives in a way that lets others know who Jesus is. As a body of believers, it's our job to uplift and encourage each other in our walks with the Lord. We invite you to find that specific community within our church that can be that encouragement for you, whether it's through a Sunday school class, small group, or Bible study. Don't try and walk alone. God calls us to walk this road together.
We demonstrate our commitment to God through a commitment to worship and discipleship, which then leads us to live a life of mission and service. We are called by God to be a blessing to the world. And we do that by helping others and by practicing the Great Commission. Now, after Jesus was risen from the dead, He came to His followers and He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." As the body of Christ, we are called to carry on Jesus' mission of living the gospel and ministering to the world around us. Serving others is grounded in our service to God. And that takes commitment. It's the kind of commitment that's exemplified in one of John Wesley's prayers. John Wesley, as you may know, was the founder of the Methodist Church. And in this prayer, it's called the Covenant Prayer, he says, "I give myself completely to you, God. Assign me to my place in your creation. Let me suffer for you. Give me the work you would have me do. Give me many tasks, or have me step aside while you call others. Put me forward or humble me. Give me riches or let me live in poverty. I freely give all that I am and all that I have to you. And now, Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. May this covenant made on earth continue for all eternity. Amen." Now, Wesley describes a total commitment to God. It's a commitment that moves through our heads and our hearts to our hands. It leads us to be committed to missions and service. It's a commitment that leads us to give clothes and furniture to refugees. It's a commitment that leads us to raise money to dig wells to bring clean and safe drinking water to places where there's not clean and safe drinking water. It's a commitment that leads us to donate food to local food pantries so that those who are hungry will have enough to eat. It's a commitment that leads us to go on to mission trips where we can build homes and do repairs and share the good news of Jesus Christ. A commitment to missions and service is one of the visible ways that we respond to God, who then takes our acts of love and service and blesses them. But let's remember that this goes beyond charitable projects and special mission endeavors. Every day, God takes what we do with our hands and uses it for good. God takes the hand of the farmer to grow food. God takes the hand of a doctor to relieve pain. God takes the hand of a parent to guide a child. And God takes our hands to give comfort and encouragement to our neighbors. Now, we are called to practice our faith each and every day. And let's remember that God is always looking for people who are trying to live the gospel. God is always looking for people who are working for the good of others. To do this, though, requires us to adopt a mindset of missions and service. Now, do you see yourself as a person who is participating in God's mission in your everyday life? Are you looking for opportunities to serve and make a difference in this world? Now, the following video will hopefully spark some ideas of how you might serve through the ministries of this church, as well as through the daily rhythms that you have in your work, with school, with your family, and with your friends.
Through the things you say and the things you do, are others able to see Jesus alive in you? Too often, we think that mission fields only exist somewhere halfway around the world. But in reality, our mission field is right here in Raleigh. Whether we're at school, work, or anywhere else, the people we meet and the places we go provide us with opportunities to live out the gospel. So who are the people that God's placed in your path? What relationships do you need to build and nurture in order to tell others about Jesus? At Forest Hills, we're here to equip you to be on mission every day. And to do that, we want to help you understand how God's gifted you to serve the people around you. Now's a great time to take a spiritual gifts inventory to see how you're best suited to share Christ's love in our community this year.
A committed church is made up of people who are committed to worship, discipleship, and service. When we live with that kind of commitment, powerful things happen. Love grows. Abundant life is experienced. People are blessed and changed. And the presence of God is felt. So let's strive to be a committed Christian community so that we can be a blessing to each other and to the world beyond these walls. That's the kind of mission God calls us to, and it's certainly a gift worth sharing with others. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful for the gift of community that we find in the church. You have brought us together to bless each other and to bless the world around us. And we pray that we will live with a greater commitment to you by giving ourselves more fully to worship, discipleship, and service. We pray that you will help us grow so that our community can be a gift to others. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.